This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Nerds. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
I didn't realize it was picking up as much steam as it was because nobody's yelled at us. I did think it was a pie in the sky idea, but if you're telling me that scouts and everybody are thinking about it, then all right, like scratch that itch then, Tone. Tell me more about it. Tell me more about all this.
Well,
Evan Mobley and Giannis Antetokounmpo.
Yeah, I mean, obviously I'm salivating as I always tend to do, and this is what gets me in trouble with fans is I get very aggressive, and that didn't work out so well for the Deshaun Watson move. But you know, the team actually agreed with me, and they made that move, and then it didn't work out.
More on that case, coming up in moments.
Yeah, yes, indeed.
Unfortunately,
you're going to love that transition. In this case, look, Evan Mobley, I have been thrilled about watching him every time. Every time he takes the floor, because I keep saying I see him do something new. It's a matter of time. I don't know how long that's going to be. I don't know if Evan Mobley in the next 2 years. Is going to be playing at such a high level that we're not going to have to worry about Donovan Mitchell and his option, his player option in that third year. But what I do know is Giannis over the next 2 years, I mean, not only do they have a chance to win the championship, I mean, I think they could be the favorites. That's how much of a game changer. Like I literally put it up there right when LeBron came home. We didn't know Golden State was going to be that immediately, but what did we say when LeBron came home? They're the favorites. It didn't end up being the case. We did win one championship, you know, that 2 years later. But in this case, I do think, given the landscape of the NBA, if you had Giannis with Donovan Mitchell, and yeah, I do think Darius Garland would be in a perfect role as much heat as he's taken and all that. I do think on the margins, like, they wouldn't have a ton they would need to do as long as they're healthy.
Do you think, though, like, going back to what Danny Cunningham said to us yesterday, like, what would that do as far as decimating the rest of their roster?
Yeah, because, that's a fair question.
Kenny Atkinson likes to be deep. Now, listen, like, Giannis is Giannis, so let's not get too crazy with this. But it is, you got to have other guys that are able to go into the basketball game. I mean, you got to have at least during the postseason, I would like you to be 7-8 deep.
Right, yeah, you don't want to just be playing, you know, 5-6 guys, because it is tough to make it to the end, especially because we've seen Donovan Mitchell limping at the end and just giving it his all. Maybe this does take some of the pressure off of him in that regard. So it is a consideration. Like you're gutting your team a little bit to make that happen, but at the same time, like if you do run it back, how much faith do people have that this Cavs team? When everybody's talking about how you're not tough enough, even your own team, that's not a media thing. Mm-hmm. That's a Kenny Atkinson thing. Mm-hmm. It's a Max Strus thing. Max Strus was talking about it. So Donovan Mitchell talked about it. Like it's fair game now, guys. It's fair game. The rest of the league is talking about it. Is that magically going to change? I'll tell you, if you bring Giannis in, there's nobody's questioning toughness. Like Giannis, one of the rare birds that he doesn't get very far in the playoffs and nobody blames him.
Guys, I'm not in any hurry to trade Evan for just anybody. This is Giannis, though. And I think that we have to say, what have we always been hoping that Evan's going to be? Giannis. Giannis is already him. So if I can make that move, and will be for the next few years.
By the
way, if Evan goes on and becomes Giannis in the next few years, great.
Great.
I wish him very well, and I'll be glad that I was right, or we were all right about him becoming Giannis, but we're in a mode now where you have to strike where the iron's hot. And I understand that you will be upset. Some folks will be upset, especially if they didn't make the move and they didn't get him or they didn't get a championship, that if Evan Mobley did become Giannis and then we're watching Giannis while this team is starting to break apart and we're starting to start this all over again. I think some people would be very upset with that, obviously. But I have to look at it and say, this might be a chance where you can strike while the iron's hot. I definitely think they should be in conversation with each other. I don't know for sure, just like I hate to say it, but I knew for sure that there were conversations back in October. I cannot believe we're doing this again. October 2021, we knew that there were definitely people scratching around down there in Houston. I didn't listen to Albert Breer yesterday, and I don't like to admit such things. I didn't get a chance to hear him. And then I looked at the cut sheet today, and I went, what effing year are we in? Here's Albert Breer. This is recent. This is yesterday.
This is yesterday.
Not 2022 no. or 2023.
I'm talking about yesterday.
All right. Fire away on clip one.
I think there's a possibility that he comes back and he's cleared in time to play a good chunk of the 2025 season. And I think he knows what's on the line, too. So it'll be interesting to see if you've got a different Deshaun, because they absolutely have done a completely different approach in how they built the quarterback room. And maybe you get a different Deshaun than, you know, versus like a year ago where you were sort of building the room to support him. You're not doing that at all anymore. And maybe he takes that as a challenge, and maybe we see a different version of Deshaun whenever he's cleared.
Okay, that's the first time I heard that. Fire away on clip two.
You know, I do know this. When you put four quarterbacks in that room, when you draft two in the first five rounds, you're throwing every dart you possibly can to try to get it right. If all of a sudden that Deshaun that you traded for, that Deshaun that played 2020 at the level he did, 2019 at the level that he did, if all of a sudden there's a glimpse that he could be back, well, it would be foolish not to at least consider it based on everything that the Browns have already gone through, all the money they've already spent, and the position all of those guys are in. So I think you kind of have to approach it now like, if you're the Browns, like, this is like a no-lose situation. Like we already have sort of chalked this up as a sunk cost, and one of the biggest sunk costs in NFL history. So if somehow this turns itself around, it'd be silly not to at least consider that.
It'd be silly to not consider
it. I'm kind of blown away. I'm going to be honest, especially coming from Albert.
It is silly.
I am blown away.
It is silly. It is silly.
So who is telling him that?
I don't know.
Somebody in the building's telling him that.
I don't know.
Who is still on the Deshaun?
Don't say that.
Who is still on Team Deshaun in that building?
I don't know. I know Mary Kay joins us tomorrow at 8:22. Fine. Go ahead. Fire away, Mary Kay.
Deshaun is absolutely invested and committed in being here. And I thought that was interesting. The rhetoric that we're getting on this whole thing, except for when Jimmy Haslam said that it was a big swing and a miss, the door is left open a crack that, you know, maybe, just maybe, it's not 100% over yet for him here.
He was not, here's the thing, he's not invested in being here. Nobody saw him last year. After he got surgery,
but what about
he was
the
gone.
New videos, Anthony?
He didn't support his teammates. He wasn't around.
I'm going to tell you right now.
He wasn't here all of April. He wasn't doing what Dak Prescott did in Dallas, where he was doing everything it took on crutches to get to games.
But in March, he did the ropes thing in Berea.
Stop being taken in by this. And I'm not even talking to the listeners. The listeners know. You know. Stop being taken in by this. Guys, he doesn't want to be here, just like you don't want him here. And if he gets a chance and he can show he can play, because honestly, if it ends right now, is he ever playing again in the NFL? Do you believe he's ever playing again in the NFL, Anthony? Owen, Mitch, get your mics on. Get your mics on right now. Do you guys believe he's ever playing again in the NFL? Owen?
Not until yesterday when I heard Albert Breer.
But before that, if he doesn't play, this year.
Now my answer is, he's going to play somewhere.
Mitch, do you believe that?
I do not.
Okay, Lima, do you believe that? No. Four out of four people on this show do not believe. Jeff's right behind you. I'm sure Jeff is number five as well. So he would never take a snap again in the NFL. Don't fall for this. Because he's just going to use you as best he can to show that he has something, and then he's out of here on the first thing smoking. It's a guaranteed contract. The only thing that this guy wants, the only thing, is a chance somewhere else at a place that is not Cleveland. He don't want to be here. Stop being taken in by this.
He can't.
And I'm not even talking to the fans because the fans aren't taken in by it.
He can't realistically be in the plans. What would have to happen for him to ever set foot as a Cleveland Brown?
Keith said, by the way, Keith, you left something out. Someone in the organization said Deshaun is committed to be there. No, you said that right at the beginning. So who told her? Who's talking about this?
And are they only doing it to fulfill some kind of insurance?
I hope this
is part of the cap relief that the Browns get.
What do you mean, an insurance investigation in which they go,
guys,
you didn't mean to bring him back? And they go, no, we did.
This is why I get so excited about Dylan Gabriel and Shedeur Sanders, guys. This right here. Because I'm telling you right now, I will wear a tuxedo and carry around the watches that Shedeur Sanders has. I'll be like a valet in the WWE and open up all the watches and let him select one before a game. Then do any of the stuff that we've had to do over the last 3 years. This is fun. That wasn't fun. Talking about this guy is not fun. The possibility that he's coming back? What? For what?
Yeah, this entire city is counting down the days till he's never here again.
For what?
You're not going to restart that clock.
For what?
Then why is someone in the building saying it?
That's what I'll never understand. The only thing I can think of is they have to cover their bases to make sure that they can get out of this free and clear and save the most amount of money on the
Shedeur cap. I'm begging you, Shedeur, please. Please, I know you're not listening. Your father's one of my all-time idols. I'm begging you, please. Please, please, please. Dylan Gabriel, please. Please, please. Yeah. I need, no offense to Joe Flacco, I need a young guy to grab onto this thing and to not relinquish it this year. To not relinquish it this year. Because before, I didn't think that that was anything realistic at all. If you're telling me that this is realistic, okay, well, good luck. He don't want to be here. The fans don't want him here. He don't want to be here. Fans are more than happy to move on. And I think he's more than happy to move on. The only reason he would be out there is to try to put something on tape going, hey, I'm still healthy enough to play somewhere else. That's it. Oh, my God. Boy. All right. Fine. The more the merrier. When you have four quarterbacks, why not five? When you have five quarterbacks, maybe you have none. You got anything more on that?
I think we're good.
Okay.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
we've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Nerds. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
We are working to get Albert Breer here shortly. MMQB joins us every single carry. It's Tuesday. That's when he does at 5:20. So we'll work to get Albert on here. I had a comparison for what I think the Browns might be thinking. What I think if Kevin Stefanski and the Browns are really hoping that Kenny Pickett can be, and I think there's a reason that Kenny Pickett might get the first thrust at this job, even before Joe Flacco and certainly before the rookies. I think if what Joe Batonio said is true, and I believe it to be true, that the Browns are going back to what they did 4 years ago, I think they want Kenny Pickett to be Baker Mayfield from that year.
26 touchdowns to 8 interceptions.
But look at how many times he threw. I think he threw like 450-plus times.
I think he was averaging like 25 throws a game. It was not a lot.
And so his job was make enough plays to move the ball, but don't necessarily push the ball down the field. We're going to run the ball, rely on a good defense. Like it?
Love it.
Let's see if Albert Breer loves it. MMQB. Albert, welcome to the show.
Hey, what's up, guys? How you doing?
We're doing all right here. The NFL owners' meeting's rolling along. I want to get to the Kenny Pickett comparison I just made, but I want to get your take on the flag football approval we got today and really why this is coming to fruition.
I'd say the main thing is, I think this is a big picture thing for the NFL, and part of it is they're trying to grow the game internationally and everything else. There's only so much you can grow when you don't have kids playing it. And the reality is football is a lot harder to export than a sport like basketball or soccer, where you can just put up a couple of goals or put up a couple of hoops, roll out a bag of balls, and kids can learn how to play. Just because of the equipment, the numbers, the violence of the game, the insurance costs, all that difference. And so, I think their way around that has been to try to legitimize flag football in any way they possibly can, which is, turning it into a varsity sport for girls.
Yeah, the international side of things, when we discussed it, obviously that was a reason why we made some of the points that we did, because the NFL does everything in trying to grow the international game these days to a point where you just look at the schedule, everything's changed.
Only so far you can grow it if kids aren't playing it. And, I think anything they can do to legitimize flag, whether it's, make it a varsity sport for girls, so you get girls playing domestically, or legitimize it so more people are playing internationally, has been important to the league. And that's why getting it into the Olympics was important for them. And, and now I think, what can we do to get more attention on, flag football in the Olympics? Well, the way you could do that is you can get NFL players playing in it. And it'll be interesting to see. I don't know. Some of my buddies back in Ohio might hear me say this and laugh, but we won our fraternity league at Ohio State back in like 01 or 02 or whatever. So I remember we thought let's go play in this Nike league. It was like a Nike Elite League or something. We got our freaking doors blown off because we were running actual football plays. You know what I mean? Actual football stuff. And what the other teams were doing in this league was nothing like that, because it's a different sport. It's all kinds of laterals and pitches and all that different stuff. And so I think that's another piece that's going to be interesting too, is are the NFL players actually the best options to play in this, especially if they're not training for it. It's going to be an interesting bridge for them to cross when they get there.
There's some other things obviously going on too. The tush push continues to be talked about, but something we've been kind of honed in on is a potential major change to the playoff seeding, and it wouldn't start in the wild card round. It would start after that. Do you think that's a good idea if the NFL moved forward with the reseeding?
Yeah, there are a couple of different ideas here. I don't agree with the overall reseeding. Here's why. The NFL is not the NBA. It's not baseball. You don't play every team over the course of the year. The schedules are so wildly different. I think the value, this isn't even about like just raw record. To me, it's about the fact that these teams are competing in different environments from one another, you know? And so, like, I think the best example this year is going to be that the NFC East has to play the NFC North and the AFC West. The NFC West gets to play the two South divisions, right? Mm. So, like, in the AFC North or the AFC West and the NFC North, you have six playoff teams from last year. In the two South divisions, you have two. So is it fair to the team in the NFC East if they win the division at 10 or 11 wins, and then the second-place team in the NFC West, who is playing the South division, wins 12 games? It's those records aren't the same, you know? Like, mm-hmm. So I personally, I'm not wild about it, but this isn't about fairness. This is about television. And, you know, what they feel like, and this part of it is true, like, if you have open seating, you'll have more compelling games and give teams more to play for in week 17 and week 18 instead of teams resting guys. And I think a flashpoint for them was the Rams last year, where the Rams actually did have something to play for in week 18. And Sean McVay made the conscious decision that it was more important that he rest his guys than play for seating. So then they wind up losing that game. They dropped to the 4 seed. And a lot of people said, well, you should have tried to avoid the Vikings, who won 14 games. But the Vikings had just been in that war with the Lions for the NFC North title in week 18. So they were beat up and worn out, and a fresh Rams team came in and knocked them out of the playoffs, you know? And so, like, it actually rewarded taking that strategy of making your week 18 game irrelevant. I think they're worried about those sorts of things becoming more and more prevalent, especially if they wind up going to 18 games. So, you know, I think as big a part of it as anything is like the broadcast partners having something valuable and then the league having something valuable to sell to the broadcast partners, as many ways as they're going to slice this up when they have a new set of television deals. So I don't think that's going to get passed at this meeting. What I do think is happening, though, is Roger Goodell, I think, is setting this up to try to get it passed in 2026, and we'll see if that happens.
Albert Breer of the MMQB on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. So we got a little bit of a Deshaun update. One, he's all over social media showing, you know, his workout videos, but we've also found out that Deshaun is throwing with Browns receivers. And so we have that, and then we obviously have Jimmy Haslam's comments about what a debacle the Deshaun thing has been back at the owner meetings a couple months back. So this has stoked fears for Browns fans that there might be a chance he factors into this thing in 2025. So I'm asking you, what percent chance would you give Deshaun to play regular season football for the Cleveland Browns ever again?
I mean, I don't think it's impossible at all. Like, I think it's definitely on the table, and I think he could play this year. I think if you look at the timelines for Achilles, they do vary a bunch, but, you know, I don't, like, based on when he had the second tear, you know, the idea that he can come back in 9 months, second tear, I believe, happened in December, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, like, if it was a 9-month timetable or 10-month timetable, which, like, Aaron Rodgers was fully cleared, I think right and around that range, like, you're still talking about potentially before the season, you know? So, well, you guys know, like, I think the number one thing you all have to trust is Instagram videos, right? Like, those are the, those are never doctored. I think there's a possibility that he comes back and he's cleared in time to play a good chunk of the 2025 season. And I think he knows what's on the line too. So, it'll be interesting to see if he's got a different Deshaun, because they absolutely have taken a completely different approach in how they built the quarterback room and just putting a ton of competition in that room. And, you know, I think maybe you get a different Deshaun than, you know, versus like a year ago where you were sort of building the room to support him. You're not doing that at all anymore. And maybe he takes that as a challenge, and maybe we see a different version of Deshaun whenever he's cleared.
Yeah, the hard part for me, Albert, would be that, you know, we have four quarterbacks in this room. So I feel like it'd be a hard, like, there's a lot of quarterbacks you still have to jump in that regard if you're Deshaun. And I don't know if even looking good in practice, because we've seen him look good in practice and then absolutely stink up the joint in game. So I think it'd be a hard sell for the Browns and the coaches. I almost wonder if he's just training for his life without the Browns.
Yeah, maybe, you know, I, and again, I'm not sure. I think there's a lot of things that everybody's got to work through before we get to the point where, you know, we know, you know, when it's going to be cleared, when we know what that's going to look like for the team. But, you know, I do know this, when you put four quarterbacks in that room, when you draft two in the first five rounds, you know, you're throwing every dart you possibly can to try to get it right. And, you know, if all of a sudden, I'm not predicting this, but if all of a sudden that 2020, that Deshaun that you traded for, that Deshaun that played 2020 at the level he did, 2019 at the level that he did, if all of a sudden there's a glimpse that he could be back, well, it would be foolish not to at least consider it based on everything that the Browns have already gone through, all the money they've already spent, and the position all of those guys are in. So I think you kind of have to approach it now, like, if you're the Browns, like, this is like a no-lose situation. Like, either, like, we already have sort of chalked this up as a sunk cost and one of the biggest sunk costs in NFL history. So if somehow this turns itself around, it'd be silly not to at least consider that.
Albert, we were talking about Joel Bitonio, who joined us earlier, and he talked, you know, like, the Browns are getting back to who they were 2 years ago, getting back to who they were when they were winning with Baker Mayfield, and that's about running the ball, playing turnover-free football, and obviously a good defense. And I was looking at it. In 2020, the Browns had the fourth most rushing attempts in the NFL at 495 rushing attempts a year. If they ran the same amount this year, that would put them in 2024. That put them ninth in the NFL. So it feels like the Browns are zagging when everyone else is zagging. Is getting back to running the ball and playing defense, is that even different in 2024 or 2025, given what we saw in 2024?
I mean, maybe a little bit. Like, I do think, like, that based on the structure of their team and the way they're set up right now, it's something they're going to have to look at. They drafted two running backs, and I think both Quinshon Judkins and Dylan Sampson are really good prospects. You know, you hope that you're going to get your left tackle position taken care of. And if it's DeJuan Jones, then that's a big run blocking left tackle. You're sort of set up that way. I think the other piece of it that's really, to me, interesting is the impact the loss of Bill Callahan had. And I think that's one thing through everything last year that we didn't talk about a lot. At least I didn't talk about it a lot with you guys, but I think that's a major thing. You know what I mean? And now you're on your third line coach in 3 years, and you had Vrabel helping out in that group last year. And so, like, what does that look like? You know, I think a lot of, you know, there's going to be, I think, a lot on the Browns coaches, on Tommy Rees as the new offensive coordinator, you know, and Mike Bloomgren as the new line coach to try and create a group that's and a run game that's capable of supporting the quarterbacks, because I think you have to build in for the fact that there could be some bumps at quarterback along the way.
Yeah, Albert, it's such a unique offensive line in general. Like, you mentioned DeJuan, and obviously he's here, but then the four other guys are all with expiring contracts at the end of the season. Like, there's at the end of this year, even if it works out, it could end up looking completely different for the following season.
For sure, yeah. And it's an aging group, too. I mean, look, Bitonio, Taylor, and Conklin aren't getting any younger. You know what I mean? Like, so, you know, you're certainly looking at a group that could look completely different in a year. And what do some of the young guys look like? Is Luke Whipler coming along? Is Zach Zinter coming along? Like, there are a lot of questions, you know? I think the big one here now is, what does DeJuan Jones look like at left tackle? But, you know, you definitely want to have some young guys in the pipeline and coming along, and what that looks like, I think, in October, November, December. Chances are you're going to have to go to one of those guys at some point anyway. What that looks like in, you know, October, November, December, like you said, like, might not just affect them in 2025, but also could affect their approach to 2026.
Albert, Ryan Clark, former Steeler, still close with Mike Tomlin, saying on Get Up that he thinks it's time Mike Tomlin coaches elsewhere. A slight paraphrase there by me. Is that the sense around the NFL? Is that the sense around Pittsburgh? No. Or is that maybe Ryan's opinion?
No, I think it's Ryan's opinion, but I wouldn't discount what he says. He obviously played for him. He's got a close relationship with him. I do think it's something to be considered. You know, like there was back in the day that whole Bill Walsh theory that, you know, your voice is only going to resonate for about a decade if you're really great at it. You know, I think that the math on that's changed a little bit because of player movement. And because you have, you know, like every 3-4 years, almost your entire roster is turning over. And so, you know, I think that gives coaches an opportunity to present their message in a new way to a new group of guys, and there's less of a chance the message is going to go stale. But you know, after you've been in one place for that long, I do think there are challenges that are presented. And, you know, so I think it's something you have to consider. And people have asked that question with John Harbaugh, too. You know, like those two guys have been, I think, between the two of them, with their teams for 35 years, right? I think one's 17, one's 18. I think Harbaugh's been there 17 years and Tomlin's been in Pittsburgh 18. It's a long time to be in one place. And so those questions have been asked over the last few years. There's been the question, would somebody come in and trade for one of those guys? I know this, like if I'm another team and I need a coach and my season's circling the drain, you know, I'm probably at least exploring the idea of trading for someone like that who might be looking for a fresh start somewhere. But I also think on the other hand, you know, I mean, certainly I don't think Baltimore and John Harbaugh, I don't think that's anywhere, you know, you're anywhere close to any sort of scenario where Baltimore would accept a trade of John Harbaugh somewhere else. But even with Tomlin, like the Steelers, as much as you have heard that stuff over the last couple of years, they really value what they have in Mike Tomlin and understand what they have. And I think the people there would tell you that, you know, more of the issue there in the last couple of years has been their inability to get the quarterback position right, way more than it has anything to do with whether or not the player's still listening to Tomlin.
Albert, great stuff as always, buddy. Appreciate you. We'll catch up with you next week.
All right. Thanks, guys.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Nerds. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features Swift Rinse Tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Two games today, finishing the suspended game from yesterday and then playing another one, even though the weather in Minnesota doesn't look very good right now.
After four, it's supposed to clear up. That's what the word on the street is.
Is that the word on the street?
The word on the street is after four, it's supposed to clear up. That's why.
Who puts the word on the street?
The weather people.
Okay.
People that make up the weather or decide what the weather's going to be. They put it in their machine.
And then when they're wrong, they go, hey, how about that?
Oh, can you believe that? Oh, swing and a miss.
Guess you should have planned that picnic today after all. Could have mowed the lawn. Instead, it's a foot and a half high and it's going to rain tomorrow.
It's amazing how many times they're wrong at the ballpark. It happens a lot more often than you think.
That's not good.
No,
that's
it's not good. It's not.
Well, we've been kicking around, and I know, folks, we sometimes grow weary of it as well. We're kicking around the Browns quarterback situation today. Why? Because Deshaun Watson is showing signs of football life, and the OTAs are coming up, and blah, 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 blah. And the Browns have some options, and they have to figure out what they're going to do.
Do you think this is interesting? Because we brought this up before the break, right? The odds?
Well, I asked you. Quarterbacks? Yeah, I should hold it because I want to hear it.
Oh, okay. Well, tell me when you want to hear it.
Do it. Go.
Okay. Kenny Pickett is the favorite. Now, this is kind of a groupthink among sports books. So, from what I'm seeing, Kenny Pickett is minus 110 to plus 120 at some sports books to be the starter. So he is the favorite.
Okay.
Joe Flacco is plus 150 to plus 300. Shedeur Sanders, this is where I find interesting. Shedeur Sanders is plus 200 to plus 370. And Dylan Gabriel is...
I don't get all those numbers.
It's based on $100, right?
I know.
Dan?
I don't get it.
Yeah. So if you bet $100, you'll get $250 back.
Right. So, and Dylan Gabriel, plus 650 to plus 1,000. Deshaun Watson... extremely long odds, plus 5,000. So not expected to play.
50 to 1, if you prefer that.
Yeah.
There you go. I want to play this little game. Dano, I want you
But do
involved.
You think that's weird that Vegas thinks Sanders has a better shot than Gabriel?
No, because he is the product of hype, and what are they trying to do?
Yeah.
They're trying to get people to bet.
And I don't necessarily...
It may not be accurate, but it may be the best way for them to get people to put money on.
Yeah, that's exactly. It's about the betting. Yeah. It's not about who's actually going to start.
Right,
yeah.
Right. Why would it be a good idea if fill in the blank ends up as the starting quarterback?
Okay.
And let's start with the rookies. We'll start at what we think is the bottom of the depth chart, at least for now. Why would it be a good idea if Shedeur Sanders, or why would it be good if Shedeur ends up as the starting quarterback?
He makes the front office look like complete geniuses.
Even though they passed him over six times.
If he's successful. He makes them look like that he was the steal of the draft. If he can even just go out and win. Are we talking about him starting week one? Is that what you're asking me?
The starting quarterback of the football team this year.
At any point or does
no, it? No, like the guy. Let's say he becomes the starter and... The starter of record. All right. So maybe somebody else starts week one and week two, and then whoever takes over.
So
I'm saying nine starting starts? Starting as in, 12, 15 games.
Yeah. Earning the starting job, not the everyone else is limping. So here you go.
Right.
Go get him, Tiger.
But this guy is your starter, and
it is
he ends up as your clear cut starter.
Right. Gigantic victory for the front office. If he is the starting quarterback and is winning games for the Browns. That would be the best victory lap in the world that the front office and the Sanders family could take.
I feel like Shedeur Sanders and Dylan Gabriel, it's the same answer, which is you've solved the quarterback problem for a cheap amount of money. You can contend while still having the boulder around your neck. And it opens the door for you to do a lot of other things until you can remove the boulder from the neck. And then everything looks up and you can build this thing quickly.
I think it would be great if he were the starter because it would mean what Andy said. It would mean what you said, Dan. And it would also mean that for whatever reason, it wasn't talent that he dropped in the draft so much. Team shied away from some other reason, and the actual talent might have been there. And he ends up becoming a starter in the league. And maybe you find that guy who can be your guy. And he's under a cheap contract for a while. But at one point, this guy was considered a real talent at quarterback, at least by all the prognosticators. And that's why it would be great if he were the starting quarterback.
It would also be great if you knew he could be the starting quarterback next year for him or Gabriel, because it means that you now have two draft picks for next year in that first round that you could do some serious damage with among the best players in college football. So
quit lumping guys together in my little shtick.
I'm sorry. I didn't think I was lumping.
No, Dan did and you did.
Oh, I did too.
I didn't.
Well, I feel bad, but Dylan it's the Gabriel. Same answer.
No, it's not necessarily.
Okay.
Dylan Gabriel. Why would it be great if Dylan were the starter? I'll start this one.
Go, go, go.
Because a guy was completely overlooked in the draft because of his height, and he actually is the quarterback that he showed that he was in college, where he was incredibly effective at three different schools, was really good, and teams made a Russell Wilson-type error and judged him solely on his height and not on his football ability. And that leads you to what you said, Andy. You found your guy. He's cheap. Dano, you can do other things. You guys are both right about that.
Yeah,
that's why it would be great with Gabriel, because A, he can actually play, and he was judged mainly on his height, and he shouldn't have been.
I'd say see part two on this, too, that it gives you the luxury of using both your first-round picks on a non-quarterback next year. I think Sanders becoming the starting quarterback would be a much bigger deal than Gabriel, because there's a lot more that, because of the hype, there's a lot more that goes along with that with Sanders over Gabriel.
Do you guys think one guy has more potential physically than the other to be the guy? See, every time
seems
I
like a mix.
Every time I try to think about that, I keep going back to 5'11 quarterback. I'm guilty like the NFL teams of passing the guy over because of his height. Not that Shadur is some 6'4", 6'5", you know, big god in the pocket, but every time I think of Gabriel, I keep going back to 5'11". And maybe I shouldn't.
Dan Lanning's system in Oregon seems to have a little bit more quick decision-making, a little bit more quote-unquote NFL ready.
Yeah.
And what Pat Shurmur was doing, now again, some of it could be because of the offensive line. A third of Shadur Sanders' throws were behind the line of scrimmage.
The highest percentage in Division I football.
Right. And again, that could be offensive line based. That could be talent based. You can point to a lot of different things with it. I wonder.
I'm sorry. I just want to make sure I didn't hear you wrong. Did you just say a third of his passes were behind the line of scrimmage?
Yes.
They all have to be, don't they? Out of my mind? What are we talking about?
The receiver was behind the line of scrimmage.
Caught behind the line of scrimmage. Last time
screens
I
and checked dump offs.
Okay, I thought you were talking about illegal forward passes.
Bubble screen, like, screen
passes. What's he talking about?
Yeah.
Okay.
Travis Hunter takes two steps back behind the line of scrimmage.
Yeah, I understand. Okay, behind the line of scrimmage receptions.
That's what I meant.
Okay.
No, all good.
Which is an unbelievable stat. That's an amazing stat.
You kind of watch that Colorado offense, and it's very defined. And so I want to see what this looks like in an offense of decision-making before I do that. And I know, and again, Oregon's got the same thing. All of college football has defined throws. So, like, I get the arguments with that, but I feel like Gabriel did it a little bit more. And so I think it puts him ahead a little bit more. But again, we're not going to know until we see this all.
Why would it be good if Kenny Pickett becomes the starting quarterback of this football team? Dano, you want to start this one?
Sure, you're taking flyer on a guy who you still have. They're not picking up the fifth-year option. You could re-sign him. You have your quarterback of the future who is a veteran in this league, who has seen things and isn't starting from square one like your rookie quarterbacks are. You could probably put more on his shoulders. You could probably continue to build the offense moving forward. It seems like a quicker path to success.
Agree with that, and I'll also say that it gives you the time to develop Sanders or Gabriel. So if you feel like Pickett is going to be your one, then Sanders or Gabriel you don't feel the need to throw them out on the field week one.
But if Pickett becomes your starter,
right?
Why would you need to develop Gabriel or Sanders as anything more than a backup?
Because they're fifth or sixth. I mean, you're talking about a third round pick. And you're talking about a fifth-round pick. And if you give them time to develop, how many times did Bill take a guy who was a later-round quarterback, make them the backup quarterback, and then sell all kinds of hype about his backup quarterback and make him super valuable across the NFL when you were looking to make a trade somewhere down the road.
You're talking about a trade. You're not talking about here necessarily.
I'm talking about developing a quarterback that if you needed to, if something happened to Kenny down the road, that you could have step up and play. In fact, you're going to want Sanders or Gabriel to start maybe three or four games and have an outstanding performance. So now that their value would raise. That's why you want Kenny Pickett to be the starter.
I would think that it would be great if Pickett were the starter because as a couple of things Dan said. You've got a guy who actually has played in the league and has had some success. And success in moments more than numbers. You know, some fourth quarter comebacks, some game-winning drives, that type of success. And at one point, by at least one team, was valued as a first-round draft choice. And that's more than you can say for Dylan Gabriel or Shedeur Sanders. And maybe he has the talent, and he can become your Sam Darnold. You know, he could become your guy who didn't hit right away and then figures it out. Last thought. I'm hard-pressed for this one. Why would it be good if Joe Flacco ends up as your starting quarterback this year? Why would that be a good thing?
I don't think it is for Kenny Pickett. I think it is for the same reasons that I gave you about Kenny Pickett with Shedeur Sanders and Dylan Gabriel. And you know that there's an end game with Flacco that, I mean, he's not going to be here for more than a year, is he? Okay, maybe I'll even give you 2 years.
Could be two.
I'll give you 2 years. It gives you time to develop Sanders and Gabriel. And if he's winning, it may also allow you to not have to draft a quarterback next year.
I think it would. The only reason I can think it would be good if Flacco was your starting quarterback this year was because it would make it very, 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 very clear that in 2026, you would be drafting a quarterback.
I don't see the clarity, but I understand what you're saying.
Because that would show that Sanders couldn't be your starter, at least right away. And if he can't beat out a 40-year-old guy who, though he has a big arm, hasn't been very successful since he left Baltimore, if Sanders can't beat him out, if Gabriel can't beat him out, if Pickett can't beat out Flacco, it means that your quarterback is so short-term, it's ridiculous. And you're going to completely focus on finding a quarterback in 2026, which might not be a bad idea.
Are you really expecting a fifth-round draft pick to be ready to start right away?
No, but that's my point. That's my point, is that if Flacco is starting, it means the third and fifth round picks didn't show much of anything, which might mean, okay, because if you could, you could put them on the, you know, you'd want to put those guys on the field, or mainly that Pickett was not able to beat out a 40-year-old guy. That would mean Pickett certainly wouldn't be your guy, wouldn't it?
I would expect a trade. I might expect, when you look at the future on this, I might expect Flacco to retire or ask for a trade or Pickett to ask for a trade.
Chris Ossenheimer covers the Guardians for the Chronicle-Telegram. He's coming up on about 25 minutes right here on 92.3 The Fan.
Graduation season here. Are you comfortable with telling everybody about that rental price?
Yeah, because I'm not doing it.
So are you having a party for the
Hell
kids?
Yeah, we're having a party.
You got two grads.
Yeah.
Ooh,
June, dads and grads, man. All June long.
Get the Peter and Company Jewelers in Avon Lake. Sorry, I had to do it. You live in Avon Lake.
We are, my son is friends with one of their sons.
There you go. It's where Owen gets engaged. Again, on his like eighth marriage. No, this one's the one that sticks. So you guys are having the outdoor graduation party.
We are, yeah.
You just hoping it don't rain?
As long as it stops raining. It's supposed to rain for the next like 4 days.
You just got to go with the hope it doesn't rain then. Because you told me.
We're not until the first or second. I don't know. Next weekend.
Tell us.
2 weekends here.
So can you tell us the rental price of the tent?
I mean, I was looking around. I'm finding like $700 is about the good consensus.
Man, that's a lot of money.
You're getting features with it. It's a 20 by 20. You get so many tables and chairs with that. You don't just get a tent. They come set it up. They knock it down. They do all that work for you.
What a business.
Is that a good price?
I don't.
Is that actually, like, if you shop around?
I think it is.
Are the rental people going to?
Since I got out of the circus business, I have not known what tent prices were, but.
There's a great documentary on Prime about the circus right now. It is very good. very good. I remember my buddy worked for a tent and rental chair place, and they drive around. I don't know if any of them, 700, maybe that's a good price. I'm not sure. 20 tables and chairs, you're saying?
Oh, no, way more than that.
Okay.
It was a 20 by 20 tent. The other thing that they don't include in there, some of them, at least the ones we were looking at, the walls.
Okay. Know? Yep.
Those are add-ons.
Windy day.
Well, my point.
Come into play.
Our yard's not the greatest anyway for soggy conditions, and I figured if it's raining so much that we need to be undercover, we're probably not stomping around out there in the yard anyway.
Can you do driveway? Can you do driveway and garage?
I
can't.
I have trees. Like we have a canopy of trees over our driveway.
Did you have a graduation party?
Yes. Yes, we did.
Okay. Where did you do yours out of?
We had it at our place, which was a tough place to do it. And
off 306?
We had a tent.
The trucks buzzing by.
Yeah, we had the gravel driveway.
Phantom 309, so give you a check.
It was literally kind of hanging over that, and somehow they anchored it down, and it was worked out. It was not the easiest logistical scenario.
Our neighbor kid, who I'm not going to say his name, because his daddy's listening. I had this conversation. I was like, when's your graduation party? He says, I'm not having a graduation party. I says, what? He's like, I don't like big gatherings. I go, you like big gatherings when your parents go out to the boat and they don't know that you're home alone, and you don't know that they know that we know that you're doing things over there with all your friends over there shooting off bottle rockets and doing God knows what at 2 a.m, waking up the kids. Now all of a sudden you ain't into gatherings. You ain't into money. You get money at your graduation party. I forget what I got. We did ours at a Petros Park. I remember that was fun. Other than that, I don't remember much. Graduation parties are fun, man. I hope that they're having. So are you having a joint graduation party? Yeah. Okay.
Two girls. I don't know if I had like the next group. We've got two more again, same time. Boy and a girl. We'll see what we're doing there.
Man, you should have them on back-to-back days like WrestleMania. Just throwing that out there.
Well, Silverdome's open, so.
Yeah, here you go. Shador Sanders, there is a lot of love that Shador is getting now in the media, and rightfully so. LeSean Shady McCoy, he was on the facility on Fox Sports 1, said, hey, he's a first-round talent, just taken in the fifth round.
We ain't never heard this before. Never. You know why? Because you drafted a first-round quarterback in the fifth round. That's the truth of it. You try to teach him a lesson, now it backfired. Because the third-round quarterback, we try to be respectful, but we know he's not better than Shador. We know what the team knows, the player knows. And we know that Shador is going to pass him real quick, but we got to do the steps. So let's just get Gabriel out the way, because that's not, we're not even going to talk about him like we did before the draft. Number two is, what the hell a franchise say, the fifth-round quarterback, the starter, and then a guy we traded for, that was a former first rounder, they're going to split Eagle reps as a starter? When have we ever heard of that? Never heard of that. And you know why? Because it's never been a situation like this where you want to prove a point to him, make the kid humble, and now you want him to play. That's what's going to happen. Because now you are in a room with quarterbacks that's not proven. Fifth round, third round, fifth round, fourth round type talent quarterbacks in the room. And the best one is going to win it out.
You know, he's got a very valid point there. As much as you want to disagree with someone, not you, but maybe someone wants to disagree with it, I think he's got a hell of a point there. He says that Shador Sanders is going to start sooner than later for this Browns football team.
I said it earlier before we even got to this point. Hey, I think Shador's going to start a little earlier. Now when the proof comes out, because I heard you saying coaches lie. What's some coaches don't do, though? Coaches are not going to waste their time to address the media and the whole entire team about lying about a fifth and third round draft pick. Because really, for real talk, they don't really matter in the NFL. Yeah. So knowing all that, they're not going to make that up. And now that we have the evidence that it's going to be an Eagle fair playing field with Shador Sanders and all the other guys in that room, the writing's on the wall, James.
See, I think that right now, audio courtesy of Fox Sports 1, his contract was signed yesterday. I think it's 4.5 or 4.6 over 4 years. He was due, or some people said he can make $6.5 million. He was making $6.5 million a year over in Colorado. And I'm thinking, boy, he could. I think Quinn Ewers is a bigger cautionary tale, to be frank with you. But he could be a cautionary tale for some quarterbacks to stay, collect NIL, even if they do this great big cap idea that they have with the CSC. Go listen to that, 92.3thefan.com, the emerging podcast scene. We try to make sense of Ross Dellinger's great post about what college football is trying to do to move away from the NCAA and skirt around antitrust laws for this. But either way, you're going to make a lot of money in college football. But if Shador really becomes as good as Shador as we hope and what a lot of people actually think, well, then that's not going to matter in the grand scheme. Do you think it matters now? Because, you know, Shady's saying third round, fifth round, a lot of third round, fifth round. Does it matter where Shador was drafted anymore to people? Does that matter anymore? Or do we have to look at it and go, there's no first round quarterback here? Can't find, Kenny was one years ago, but now he's...
Yeah, that doesn't matter
anymore.
He's in
career savior mode now. He's had to have humbled himself.
It did get, I will say, the fact that he was a first round pick is probably the only reason Pickett has still got a chance. Like, had he been a fourth round pick, is he on the Browns right now?
If who is?
If Kenny Pickett.
Oh, I don't think so.
So
no,
that's what I mean.
No.
So this is where I do think it matters for Shador, is the amount of opportunities he's going to get. Like, if he, as a fifth round pick, is just not remotely ready to start the season for the Browns, I mean, this might be a one and done situation. I mean, he might not just have the opportunities that a first-round pick is always going to be afforded because of top-end talent. That's why guys are in the first round. They either have the measurables. They have a reason why they were in the first round almost always.
But if he's
with very few exceptions.
But if he's remotely ready to play at all for the Browns, does he stay on the roster to start the season? I would say yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
So is he, but the question is, because you have a wide open, I think for a lot of us, like we would probably... Would the majority of the fans like to just start the season with Joe Flacco? I think some people are getting comfortable with the idea of Kenny Pickett because they think the Browns want to start Kenny Pickett.
I would have said that a month ago. I don't know if I'd say that today.
You think it's because of the Kenny Pickett talk maybe permeating throughout the fan base?
I don't know, because for me, Joe Flacco is like not on the team anymore. We interviewed him a few weeks ago, and now just since then, just the way it's talked about, maybe nothing's truly changed, but the way it's talked about, I've kind of in my mind thought they're going to try to trade him. They're going to try to move him.
They've got OTAs next week.
Yeah.
Is he at OTAs?
Yeah, I don't know how many reps.
Yeah, why wouldn't he be?
I don't.
Is he leading the first offense?
That's the thing. It seems like he doesn't need to either way, right?
Right.
He's not a part of a competition.
No, wait a minute. Give me... Boy, that's great. Okay. Joe Flacco... I still think a lot of fans would like him to start the season. I do think, though, that fans aren't stupid, because there's a lot of people, the fan base will be upset. You got three young quarterbacks behind. I think it's changed. If it were Joe Flacco or Deshaun Watson, yeah, I think the fan base would be upset. Yes. But since it's Joe Flacco, then Kenny, which, you know, I don't have a lot of faith in, but we'll see. And then Dylan Gabriel and Shador Sanders, hey, there's a lot to be excited about with young guys. Now, they might go out there and fall flat on their face. What I'm only pointing out is there is no first-round guy that we have to lie about or go through some sort of motions about. Like, I read that Cam Ward and Will Levis are sharing reps right now in their minicamp OTAs. I'm going, okay, yeah, sure. Like, we all know how that one's going to work out. But with this team, you have no first-round pick, no second-round pick. You have an older quarterback at 26, but still a younger guy who maybe you start the season with, not sure. And then you have Dylan Gabriel and Shador Sanders. I think you need to take the labels off. Take the third round label off, take the fifth round label off, and go, all right, let's see how they lead. Let's see what they do with the players that they have. Let's see how they can get and earn the respect. Because before, you know, with you-know-who, who we just got done ranting and raving about, they tried to force leadership, respect, camaraderie with, and it didn't take. It just didn't take with this franchise. I think that I would look at this and say, how's his leadership? How's his relationship with his teammates? I think those are very important things, because remember, if I'm Kevin, I'm controlling the offense. So there's not going to be any gung-ho just out there slinging it around. There's not going to be any of that. I'm going to be in total control of the offense no matter what of these three quarterbacks are there. Kenny needs to be taken care of, and certainly these two rookies are. So how does he react within the fan or within the franchise? How does he react within the offense? What does he do with the offense? What does he do in breaking down defenses? Who is the most ready to play? I think you need to take the label, a third and fifth round pick, off of Dylan Gabriel and Shador Sanders.
That's, by the way, that's the first time even Dylan Gabriel's been mentioned in this segment, and it was not even brought up.
I'll say it on both.
He was not brought up in that clip at all. Does the exact same thing apply to Dylan Gabriel? I mean, only one of them can start.
Yeah.
And obviously, Dylan is the guy they made more of an investment on than Shador Sanders.
I think they need to go into this. And I've had it round and round with a couple of people. They go, Ken, is it even really a competition? They know they want to play Kenny Pickett, right? I go, no, as of right now, I do believe the Browns want to start the season with Kenny Pickett. I do believe that. As much as it might concern me, I think they want to start the season with Kenny Pickett. But I think that you need to have an open mind and say, hey, if one of these guys, they might not start the year, but these guys got to remove that whole rookie or that whole round five, round three thing. Because if one of them takes the bull by the horns and takes advantage of this situation, this opportunity, I have to be open-minded about this. Because they're going to do as I want them to do if they're running the offense the right way.
When you say the Browns want Kenny Pickett to start, do you mean Kevin Stefanski? Do you mean Andrew Berry? Do you mean Jimmy Haslam?
I think all three probably want Kenny Pickett to start. I think they all three want to have that because he's the guy who, in their own way, he becomes their, and I've said ironically, becomes their Baker Mayfield. But honestly, Sam Darnold, Geno Smith, maybe they can take a crack at that. Or he holds down the fort in September, and then you let the young guys play. Because now you have two young guys instead of what we thought. We were like, okay, we'll get a rookie quarterback out of this draft somewhere, and then we'll see what that guy does later on. I didn't think we were going to get two rookie quarterbacks. So now you have two rookie quarterbacks. It is a golden opportunity. Take that fifth-round label off. Take that developmental label off and go grab it. Go grab it. Go prove it. Dylan Gabriel is supposed to be smart on the whiteboard and a really smart guy in breaking down defenses. Go prove it. I'd love to invest the future in you. Kenny Pickett's supposed to be looking for a new lease on life. Go get the job and hold on to the job. Make sure that they can't take it away from you. This is an opportunity for these guys. And I think that we are selling ourselves short and we're putting them in bad spots, or they're putting themselves in bad spots if they go, well, you know, I'm a fifth round rookie. I do not want to hear that from Shador Sanders in the press conferences. I don't want to hear that from Dylan Gabriel. The only thing I want to hear is that they waited till the third round to draft me. They waited till the fifth round to draft me, and I'm going to show them different. I don't want to hear any of that waiting around stuff. You do not have time. You have this season to get it, whether you're going to be there or not, because they're going to take another rookie more than, like, as we sit right now, they're going to take another rookie next year. That's three rookies. And Kenny Pickett, that means one of these two that we're all excited about, whether it be Dylan Gabriel or Shador Sanders, they're gone. They're gone. Maybe both. So you got to take advantage of the situation. Now, that fifth round stuff, that third round stuff, that is out the window. We have ruined quarterbacks before. I know we can ruin quarterbacks again, but they got to do their very best to make sure that they are not in that position to be ruined. That means that they have to make sure that they are together with this offense as soon as possible. If we're still looking at the labels of third and fifth round picks, then you're in a world of trouble with these two.
Albert Breer dropped a bomb in his message bag about the Cleveland Browns, saying, because the Steelers have been connected to former Ohio State and now Saints wide receiver Chris Olave via trade. And Albert said that the Browns have actually called earlier in the offseason about Chris Olave. And I think just on face value, if you add that move specifically, depending on what they give up for Chris Olave, it would send a very confusing message about the offseason.
Well, so I'm dying to find out at what part of the offseason the phone call was made. The suggestion here is that it was earlier, and so I'm going to play with the idea it was before the draft. I'm also going to play with the idea it's before they signed Joe Flacco. Was this back when they thought they had a chance to get Kirk Cousins?
That would make more sense.
So if that's true, and we play with that thinking, then there was a world out there where the Browns believed that they were going to win 8, 9, 10 games this year.
I view it as I think teams, especially the Browns, are super smart to understand you have a win range, right? And it's really, really tough when you have some flaws in your roster and how maybe the salary cap rolls up. It's really, really tough to make moves that maybe push the ceiling up, right? The only thing that really pushes the ceiling up for where the Browns are, how they're built, would be if you can get a franchise quarterback. But Kirk Cousins and Chris Olave might pull the floor up enough that you can feel safe if you're Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry going into the season.
Yeah,
does that savvy?
Sure. Well, so I wonder if there was parts of this offseason where they genuinely did wonder whether or not they had to win 8, 9, 10 games this year to keep their job. And at some point, obviously, we saw Haslam come out and say, you don't have to force it. Maybe that's what changed their directions. Maybe just the reality they couldn't get Kirk Cousins. I'm not sure. But there clearly was a change in philosophy for the upcoming season.
Do you think they see that big a difference between Joe Flacco and Kirk Cousins? Because I
think they do.
A big difference, I don't know.
I think they do, mainly because Stefanski's had success with Kirk Cousins, and
Stefanski's had success with Joe Flacco.
Well, he had 5 games with Joe Flacco. We can call success different things. I call that 2 big interceptions in the playoff game, and it just was what it was.
I don't think that's okay. I don't think that's how fans feel about it, but you might be right. That might be how the team feels about it. Hence, why Joe wasn't back. I mean,
he had actual postseason appearances with Kirk Cousins and full seasons worth of time with Kirk Cousins.
I just think if you replay the entire offseason and then you add that they trade for Chris Olave, I'm so much more confused going into the season than the fact that they haven't traded for Chris. But by the way, looking, DK Metcalf went for a second round pick. I think George Pickens was had for a third round pick. If you could get Chris Olave, I'd probably say he'd be closer to a third than a second, because I don't know, Chris is unanimously what DK is, which is a number one wide receiver. Yeah, I think that would be a hell of a get.
But I mean, he's a guaranteed 1,000-yard receiver. Obviously, he did have the concussion problem, which you have to think about, but it's a 1,000-yard receiver guarantee.
I mean, Albert said, this is NFL jargon for there is a price, Albert saying that the Saints would have to be blown away to make that trade. I think the problem is, and much like with DK Metcalf in Seattle, much like with maybe a different reason, but even, I mean, look at all the wide receivers that have been traded recently that have been dealt for seconds, thirds, or fourths. It's not just you're trading for that player, but then you have to pay for him now as well.
Yeah, I just think about how different we'd look at this offense if it was Jerry Jeudy, Chris Olave, and then Njoku and Fannin and Judkins and Samson. I think we'd look at this offense, I think, entirely differently.
Oh, maybe you're right. Maybe that might be the kind of move, especially because he's an Ohio State kid and you look at the history. I continue to go back to, I think you're giving, if you were to trade for Chris Olave tomorrow, do I think you'd be giving your quarterback, whomever that might be, a better chance? Yes. Do I still think that the wheel of possibility with what these guys are going to be able to do is somewhat capped given what's around them? Sure. Also, yes.
Yeah, I mean, again, even you can add the best wide receiver in football, whoever you think that might be, to this team, and it's not going to raise it up 4 or 5 wins.
Like, there's a difference between if you added Jamar Chase or Justin Jefferson and Chris Olave.
But it's not going to be 4 or 5 wins, though. That's the thing. Like, there's a cap on it. Like, how many wins do you think Olave is worth to you?
I honestly don't even know. A win? 2 wins, maybe?
Okay, so you agree then. You agree that it's not worth a 4 or 5 win difference.
For Chris Olave, I don't know about...
You think Jamar Chase is worth 4 or 5 wins?
I honestly don't know. I do not know, but I would probably say he's worth more wins than Chris Olave by at least 1 win. Is that a hot take?
I don't think that's a hot take. I just think if it's... I think if we're trying to figure out at what point the Browns were taking this offseason, sounds like extremely seriously, and then they move towards a level of, okay, we're just not going to be a very competitive football team. I want to figure out where that happened and what the turn was.
I think the smart thing of what I feel, the Browns winter this offseason with you-know-what and vinegar. And I mean, I've heard some things about how, you know, members of that organization interact with media members who have said that's not going to be a good team going forward. And they shot back saying, remember this text when we're in the playoffs next year. Like, I've heard some of that from the Browns organization early. I've not heard that since March. And I think what they correctly deduced is, they weren't one of the drivers of the offseason. They didn't have a lot of salary cap space. You didn't have a team with a lot of promise to it. If you do open up more cap space, you're going to be maybe kicking the can down the road on a couple older players who maybe that's not the best decision for. And so I think they...
At the time, though, they did have a lot of draft picks.
They did, but I think they correctly surmised, all right, there isn't a quarterback worth it at 2. ... This is how I think they switched from where they've been, which is bulldog mode. And I think they've been bulldog mode since they traded for Deshaun Watson. I think you can actually say they've been in bulldog mode for now 2 straight regimes, because I think John Dorsey was in bulldog mode from 2018 on. And I think this is the first offseason that they said, all right, that's not where we are. We have to if something materializes, awesome, but we have to let it come to us. We can't force it. And I think I think that's how you end up with an offseason where you go, at some point, it's not coming to us. At some point, it doesn't make sense to overpay for Olave. At some point, it doesn't make sense to overpay for Kirk Cousins. And I think that's how we're here right now, which in the end, not sexy, but something we probably should commend.
Another spin on it, too, though. Maybe the idea was, and maybe this happened in March, maybe this happened early April, I'm not sure. But whenever they reached out, maybe they thought it was with the idea that they would have a quarterback at number two.
I think that's fair.
And then they went through the whole entire process. They didn't love Shador. Obviously, they loved him enough for a fifth-round pick, but not number two overall. And but if they were thinking about Shador and a rookie quarterback and starting this thing up, maybe they really were trying to put together as much of a roster as they possibly could.
Which, I'm so glad you said that, because if you had said Cam Ward had fallen to them at two, and I had talked me personally had talked myself into Cam as a potential franchise quarterback, the very next thing I'd want them to do is go get a number one receiver to push Jerry Jeudy to the number two receiver.
For sure.
And just add another body in that room.
You have to help him out as much as you can.
I just don't see the value in doing that now, unless it's an Amari Cooper type trade where, and I don't think the Saints would do this, where the Saints would say, I will do a pick swap in the, you know, midway through third day, and we'll get you give him a fourth rounder as well. Yeah. I don't think that's going to happen, but that's the only way I'd really consider it now, because why? Anything that might make you tangibly better this year might be the difference between you getting the number one pick, the number two pick, the number three pick, and maybe being out of the top 10 and still no closer to getting a quarterback.
Well, I mean, you can see why the Saints are hanging on to Olave, not just for the talent, but like the idea that, you know, Tyler Shuck's going to need everything he possibly can get. And so if you're going to go ahead and see, you got one more year basically to figure that out between the two of them, and then you have to go ahead and either sign him to extension or do what the Broncos did with Jerry Jeudy, essentially.
216-474-0092. Want to hear from you guys. So Albert says the Browns had talks with the Saints about Chris Olave earlier in this offseason and kind of hinted that that might be something to pay attention to the rest of the summer here. What would trading for Chris Olave, if the Browns did that, what would that tell you about their current direction? We'll have more on that, but we got Matt Underwood, Guardians TV, play-by-play man. We'll talk about the Gardos heading into this big Tiger series in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan.
If you're looking for a guy who has been all over the stadium situation and has been on top of things, uncovered good things, has done a great job, it's our guy Daryl Ryder. And he joins us right now in studio. Hello, D.
Hi, Daryl.
Hello, boys. How are we?
We're okay. Tell me, is there any coincidence that the Greater Cleveland Partnership comes out and says, you know what, we back this, we endorse this, we're all for the Dome Stadium in Brook Park, and then the next day, Mayor Bibb publicly does his media tour and says, you know, we have bigger fish to fry. Is there any coincidence in that timing?
Yeah, no. And then he came back the next
day. And walked
it
back.
And walked it backwards. Yeah. The next day, like, I was like, man, the mayor looks like a genius right now. I'm like, hey, you know, he did a really good job. He's cleaned this whole thing up. And then all of a sudden, like 24 hours later, it's like someone said, you're not allowed to say that. And so now he walked it back. I mean, talk about not making a stand. He made a stand. Like, I sat here yesterday and praised him and then read what I read yesterday. I'm like, what are you doing? Stop.
There's so much bitterness on both sides. I don't know how a professional business relationship can be salvaged between these two sides. So much mud has been slung that I don't even know how you repair the relationship. If I were the Browns right now, and I was told this week, they offered Cleveland a sizable chunk of money that would cover not only the demolition of the stadium, but would be a pretty nice shot in the arm to go toward whatever you want to do with that land.
Okay. Once the stadium's gone.
Once it's gone. And I was told, the mayor said, talk to me after June 30th because he wants to see what happens in Columbus with the state budget. Okay. And that's just not how you go about doing things.
Right.
And the Browns' biggest frustration is they can't get people in rooms. It's just this public war of words, okay? And this isn't a process that started in the last 18 months. The Browns looking for stadium sites was the absolute worst kept secret in the county.
Right.
Going all the way back to 2018.
Was Brook Park in the county or no? I'm sorry, I forgot.
I plan to check up on that to reconfirm.
If I was Brook Park, I would try to secede from the county. Because the county doesn't care about them at all.
Well, no, it's not that the county doesn't care about them. They don't care about the Haslams. They don't want to do this deal with the Haslams. And
so you're saying if the team was owned by somebody else, this wouldn't be a problem?
No, I'm not saying that at all. I think if the Haslams project was, I don't know, 1 mile north within this, you know, the city limits.
You mean 1 meter north?
Yeah. What a couple of football fields north.
Yeah.
There'd probably be a lot less resistance to this whole thing. But I've talked to a couple people the last couple of days. Like, the Browns are not a profit center for the city of Cleveland. If anything, they're awash. What the city spends on the stadium and then spends on game day, I'll call it game day accommodation, right? Traffic, security, you know, all those type of things, right? It's a wash to what they're spending for stadium debt and stadium upkeep, maintenance, and repair. Again, I keep going back to the pearl clutching that goes on about the devastating economic impacts. There's nothing around that stadium. You got the Rock Hall and the Science Center. Those buildings have been there since the 90s. And the learners came up with lakefront plans. Nothing got done by the politicians. Okay?
Right. Mike Holmgren had a fine plan.
Yeah.
Remember Mike rolled that one out?
Remember he was going to do Golf Cart City where everyone had to wear a Hawaiian shirt.
And he only could get there by
get
motorcycle.
Get your drinks with your umbrellas on Dock 3.
Isn't it just called the Villages?
At the Port Authority.
The Villages, yeah.
You can only get there by motorcycle.
But and here's the other thing, too. Okay, so let's say the Haslams lose this battle and the stadium stays. Great. It's going to be a construction project for the next 15 years. It's going to be a miserable fan experience. It's a miserable fan experience now getting in and out. Mm-hmm. Okay. They ought to travel the country. I would highly encourage Cleveland City Councilmen, the mayor, the county executives to travel the country and look at other NFL stadiums. You know how many Browns fans text me after road trips and tell me how much they detest, their words, not mine, the dump that the Browns play in, because they go to these other stadiums and they see what's there, and then they come here and they see what's here, and they're Yeah, it's the city and the county are dug in. They want to move forward with a renovation of the existing building.
So you think the mayor's back on that now?
Oh, 100%.
Wait a second. 24 hours ago, he's like, okay, we'll see you later. Am I wrong?
No, you're right.
I watched the Fox 8 interview.
Well, but here's the thing, too. I mean, this is, I mean, it's vintage Justin Bibb, and that's all I'm going to say about that.
All right, let me ask you this
one. It's like watching tennis. I just keep going back, but he's playing both sides of the court. Like, I don't get it.
It sounds personal. It shouldn't be personal. These are elected officials, so it's not like you're doing anything to these guys individually. But I wonder this. It's okay if they don't like the Haslams, or they don't like the Browns, or they don't think, you know, public dollars and blah, 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 blah. This, to me, keeps getting lost. You have private individuals who are willing to invest $2.4 billion in your region.
But they're
private money.
But they're looking at a $4 billion, $600 million from the state, and another $400 million from Brook Park. They're looking at that, and the politicians are saying,
Brook Park says, fine, let's do it.
I know, but the county and the city of Cleveland are saying that's a bridge too far. This was part of the problem down in Columbus for the last 2 years. Again, this is not something that just popped up. The Browns have been working on this for 7 years before they finally arrived to the conclusion that Brook Park was the best path for them. Look, if the city of Cleveland gave the Browns 15,000 parking spaces around the stadium, they gave them land to develop and all that, I'd probably say the Haslams would consider staying downtown.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not the case.
Although, do they want to build the rest of the project in downtown Cleveland?
Right. Well,
you know, that's,
well, there's no space to build it if you stay where you're at, right? At least on the scale that they want to do it.
Correct.
And you're limited as far as your height goes because you got the Burke flight paths too. So
right.
Just like you have with Hopkins, well, yeah. Okay, same thing. But they have more acreage out there. They can spread it out a little more. The opposition feels that the current stadium is in good condition, which I'm going to disagree with. It's not even a watertight building. Okay. They have to remediate it every time it rains. And I know because last year I got a lung infection from breathing the mold and mildew on the press box level. Hmm. So it's not a, it's not even a watertight building. It has an insufficient service level. Okay, it's only half the stadium. Mm-hmm. The TV trucks have to park on the street because they and run the cables into the building because they can't do what you do in every other NFL stadium. That's just drive all the entire crew under the building and plug in.
Are you sure about? I'm not quite, Daryl. I've listened to everything, but I mean, there's a dock underneath where TV. That's what I'm saying.
I'm saying
the stadium's. It's not like the old.
Have you seen the crews for Thursday night football and Monday night football and Sunday night football when they come here?
Those are extensive.
Yeah, no, I agree. But what I'm saying to you is,
they can't accommodate them.
I don't want to argue with you on this, but I will tell you that building is wired. It's not like I'm telling you.
Well, I know it's
the
wired.
Old stadium.
You have to leave the trucks on the street.
Some trucks, not all. There are trucks that are underneath. That were built the way the stadium needs to be upgraded. That's the point.
And they need to. They have television because it's not really there. Well,
there
they have to dig out the entire service level on the opposite side.
But there are outlets in there where TV trucks come in. They just plug in. In the old days, they literally had to come in 5 days before a game and run cables to every site where a camera was.
By the way, Amazon currently does that.
If they don't want to be a part of the process, then that's fine.
No, I'm saying Amazon comes in on Monday.
Because Amazon has this mega crew that the infrastructure can't support what they want to do. So I agree with you on that. I'm interrupting you guys. I don't care. I want to finish what I was saying.
Fans don't care about the TV trucks.
Well, you're just saying it's antiquated. He's right that it's not up to speed. That's the key.
They got to dig out the south and the east ends and make that service level so you can move the locker rooms over there. So then you have the staging space, and also you have the space to put the new modern premium areas that these new stadiums have in there. And that's very, very expensive.
The lease expires at the end of 2028.
It officially expires February 1st, 2029. That's the legal expiration of that lease.
Which means if, in fact, the Haslams want to build a new facility, the construction starts.
They better have shovels in the ground next spring.
Okay.
Where? Any chance Brook Park loses this too?
Yeah. There's a real chance because the local politicians are heavily campaigning in Columbus against it.
Does the county want them either downtown or out of the county?
Everyone wants them downtown and that's it. Everything else to them is a non-conversation starter. They don't believe they need a new stadium. The politicians believe the existing stadium is perfectly fine. They pour some money into it to spruce it up, and that's all it needs. And I am just saying that they should really travel to some of these other buildings.
Can you take me to the next step here? What are the odds of it not being in Brook Park? If the state money doesn't get approved,
they don't get that $600 million in bonds, and keep in mind, the Bengals have put in for, I think it's $385.
Right.
And the state's trying to solve that at the same time. Mm-hmm. The Reds are going to come to the table here shortly with a request for money for their ballpark. Mm-hmm. And the state wants to set something up that is more of a permanent funding solution from a state level for all these stadiums. Okay. But June 30th, that's really the day that everyone needs to pay attention to, is what ultimately ends up in that state budget. If the $600 million's not in there, Cleveland Browns are going to be stuck on the lakefront.
Well, but if I'm sitting in Lake County, or I'm sitting in Summit County, or I'm in Lorain County, who am I forgetting? I'm missing one of the other
Portage.
Counties. Portage County, whatever.
Medina.
Okay, Medina County. I would be salivating over what's going on and watching the politics going on up here. And the second that they don't want to be a fraction of an inch away from the Cleveland border and they want to be outside of Cuyahoga County, I'd be sweeping it. If I was a politician out there right now, I would be looking to say, all right, Browns, hey, this isn't working for you there.
Here's the problem. Come on out of the county. Here's the problem. The cost right now to build the dome now, and this is the Haslam's argument, right? It's cheaper to build a dome now than kick the can down the road 10, 15, 20 years.
I'm talking about putting a shovel in the ground next June. Yeah.
But I'm telling you, if you go outside the county, you have to automatically add another $1 billion to the dome price tag because this one goes in the ground, and if you're building it elsewhere, it's probably not going 80 feet into the ground, which means material and labor.
And last thought, didn't the Haslam say they were willing to go forward with this regardless?
Of the county. The state participation is going to be mandatory.
Okay. Thank you for clearing that up. Daryl, thank you, bud.
You bet.
He's Daryl Ryder.
Thanks
for
coming.
He's our Browns beat reporter. Folks can read all of your stuff. They can listen to you. You are all over this. Well done. Thank you. What do you think of this, folks? What, my main thought, how in the world did this become such an animosity-filled situation?
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Nerds. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.